Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a person of peace is there, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. And whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me.' The 72 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. Indeed, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" The Gospel of the Lord. So one day a man was transporting several penguins to a zoo when his truck broke down on the highway. Another man stopped to see if he could be of assistance. "Oh, I'm in some real trouble here," said the first man. "I've got to take these penguins to the zoo today, and now I'm not sure how I'll get there." The fellow who stopped to help volunteered to put the penguins in the back of his vehicle and take them to the zoo. The delivery man gratefully accepted this offer and promised to get to the zoo as soon as possible. A little later, his truck fixed, the delivery man was on the road again and immediately went to the zoo. He looked everywhere, but did not see the man who volunteered to help him or any of the penguins. In a panic, he drove back into town, and just as he was wondering what in the world to do next, he saw the volunteer walking across the street with all the penguins waddling behind him. He ran up and said, "What are you doing here? I thought you were going to take the penguins to the zoo." The volunteer replied, "I did. And we had such a good time there, we decided to come into town for ice cream." Cute, right? That story is also making an important point. When working with volunteers, clear instructions are always necessary. Our Lord Jesus knew this. We heard this morning how he sent a bunch of his followers, 72 of them, out ahead of him to every town and place where he intended to go. And you might have noticed that when doing this, Jesus doesn't use the strategy we often use when trying to recruit someone to help us with something. We make sure the job doesn't sound too big or too hard. "Oh, serving on this committee is easy. You won't have much to do at all. Teach Sunday school with me. I'll do all the work. You can just be there. It'll be fine." Now, Jesus would fail as a volunteer recruiter because he lays out exactly how difficult is the task he is asking his followers to do. I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves, he says. And then, so they don't end up going out for ice cream instead, Jesus gives his followers very explicit instructions. They're kind of daunting, actually, as if the whole being sent out into the midst of wolves wasn't bad enough. You can't take anything with you, Jesus tells them. None of the stuff that would be useful on a trip. No purse, no bag, no sandals even. They aren't allowed to greet anyone on the road. When they get to a house, they're supposed to offer a greeting of peace. If the greeting of peace is returned, then they are to remain there, eating and drinking whatever is provided, not moving around from house to house. After his warning about the wolves that may be out there, his packing and traveling instructions, Jesus tells those he is sending out exactly what to do, cure the sick, and exactly what to say. The kingdom of God has come near to you. And then Jesus prepares them for rejection, giving them a response for when they enter a town and are not welcomed. It's not subtle either. Jesus' followers aren't to go quietly off into the sunset looking for a better reception elsewhere. They are instead to make a bit of a scene. Go out into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. This is serious stuff Jesus is asking his followers to do on his behalf. He's asking them to make sacrifices, to leave behind the things that might provide them with a sense of safety and security. He's asking them to take great risks, to go into unfamiliar places, to do things they haven't done before. He's asking them to face rejection and not be afraid of it, to boldly enter wolf country, where the dangers are real. And you know what? When you look closely at this story from the Gospel of Luke, you see Jesus doesn't actually ask for volunteers for this work. There's no request for a show of hands of anyone interested in helping him out. There's no opportunity for the people around Jesus to stare up at the ceiling or diligently study the floor so they don't make eye contact with him. No, Jesus flat out gives his followers their marching orders, commissioning them, sending them out to do his work in the world. We, of course, here are concluding a nice 3-day 4th of July weekend celebrated by many of us with backyard barbecues, pool parties, fireworks. More importantly, this annual holiday is a time to give thanks that we get to live in the United States of America. There are many things we could improve about our country, many mistakes made in our 249 years as a nation in our approaches to world events and societal problems. Our politics can be ugly. We fellow citizens often disagree passionately and sometimes nastily with one another about key issues. But we are free in a way that few others around the globe are. Free to make choices about our lives, our work, our education, our faith, where we live, what we do with our time. We're free to express our opinions, free to protest, free to pick our friends or to not have any friends at all. And this is the thing, the freedom that we have, the freedom to decide pretty much everything about our lives, well, it can make it difficult for us American Christians to get our heads around the idea that doing God's work in the world is not just another choice we make, not just one option we have among many others. Like the 72 sent out so long ago, you and I have been commissioned, appointed by God to speak words of peace, to make Christ's healing known, to proclaim the nearness of God's kingdom. We have been called into service, called to offer our time, our talents, our treasures, our very lives to witness to the goodness and mercy and love of our Lord. That's what happened in baptism when water was splashed around in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That water, those words, gave us a new identity. Laborers in our Lord's harvest. So along with those original 72 sent out by Jesus and his disciples through the two millennia since, we are called to make sacrifices, to leave behind the things that might provide us with a sense of safety and security. We're called to take great risks, to go into unfamiliar places, to do things we haven't done before, called to face rejection and not be afraid of it, even to enter wolf country. We can say no if we want to. God gives us beloved children that freedom to say no. But why would we? When we have the chance to be part of something bigger than ourselves, when we have the chance to be co-missioners with our Lord, going boldly into God's future, offering our hands and hearts and minds to God's work, knowing that Christ will always be right there with us.